You. For scripture verse this morning, I'd like to read from the first book of John, chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 7 and go down through verse 14. It's 1 John chapter 4 and beginning with the 7th verse and reading the words in the name of our Savior. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Let's humble our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, indeed, as we celebrate this Christmas season, the birth of your Son, Father, the simple message of that birth is love. Because you would not even have done it had it not been for love. The love that you have and the compassion that you have towards mankind is so evident. And Father, we know that you don't want anyone to have to suffer or to not have that chance of entering into that glorious kingdom that you've prepared for each one of us. Father, we pray this morning that we would continue to look to one another with that love and the compassion and the caring. The same compassion and caring that our Savior looked at us with. Because indeed, without that, we have nothing. So Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you've walked with us, that you've kept us safe even up until this moment. We thank you, Father, that you have loved us again. We pray, Father, for those who are going through tough times this year, whether it be through loss of loved ones or through sicknesses or whatever it happens to be, that Father, that you know all things and you know how to strengthen, you know how to uplift, you know how to encourage, and the only thing that stands in the way of that is us. So Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your blessings. Father, we pray that you would be with all of those that are traveling, that you would watch over each one of them and keep them safe. And we pray, O God, that we would continuously glorify you and glorify your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask it. And now hear us as we come before you with that prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God's mercy, his peace, and his love be with us this morning and forever. Amen. For a text this morning, I've chosen the one that is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. I know that during this time of the season or this time of year, the text in Luke gives more information, and we'll probably get into that tomorrow. But I think the book of Matthew or the Gospel of Matthew has a special reference and a special meaning. At least for me, anyway. I'd like to I'd like to begin with verse 18, the first chapter of Matthew, verse 18, and we'll read through to the end of the chapter and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and his name, and called his name Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray this morning that, Lord, that you would speak to us, and that these words would become so important to us, and that we would be able to rejoice in the fact that you loved us so much that you sent him to die for us. Father, these are your words, and indeed your words are true because you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. This account in Matthew deals, of course, with the birth of Christ, but it also mentions Joseph more so than any of the other accounts. And I've often wondered why, because he played a significant role in this. He was the father of Jesus, or stepfather, I guess, if you want to call him that. And he was given the responsibility of raising Jesus when Jesus was just a child. Even as each one of us as fathers are given the responsibility to raise our children. Between Joseph and Mary, the studying that I've done, and even in the second chapter of Luke, towards the end of the, after the shepherds had left, it is written, or it's said that Mary kept these things in her heart, or she treasured them. She treasured all of the things that had happened to her in that amount of time. And she looked on him, and she studied them. These weren't people who just, Mary and Joseph, they weren't people who just were running around and enjoying life. They were God's children. They were the people of God. And God knew who they are, and that is why they were chosen. When that angel came to see Mary so long ago, I can only imagine what she must have felt like. She was only a teenager. She was no older than some of you here. So he starts out and he says, talks about the birth of Christ, and it was on this wise, or this was the way that it was, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, when she was engaged, is what it means. Before they came together, she was found with child in the Holy Ghost. Put it quite honestly, she had become pregnant by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, and this is an indication now as to what type of a person Joseph was. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He didn't make a big deal out of it. It was a big deal. It was something, especially back in those days, where a woman who wasn't married and who had was bearing a child or carrying a child, under Jewish law, could be stoned and stoned to death. Joseph didn't want to do this. Joseph did not want to do that to Mary. So he just quietly wanted to end the engagement, I guess if you want to call it that. Just quietly wanted to say, okay, you know, things are what they are, and this is the way it's going to be. But again, an indication of the type of person that he was. Not only him, but along with Mary also. He didn't want to make a public example of her. He didn't want to make, you know, a big hoopla about it, and gee, look what she did, and all this kind of nonsense. No, he very quietly wanted to just say, okay, let's just put this aside. Deuteronomy, in the 24th chapter, speaks a lot of how a marriage took place, or how God just, you know, required marriages to happen. Marriages back in that day, or engagements back in that day, lasted for a year. And there were a lot of hoops and hurdles that the engaged couple had to go through. But things were changing. With this happening right here, things were going to change. So while he was thinking about these things, think of this. Put yourself in that position. Put yourself in the position that of Joseph, thinking about this stuff and, you know, okay, I guess this is what I'm going to have to do. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, which is common back in that day, because we're still in the Old Testament times here. We're not in the New Testament. Angel appeared to him, and he said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's kind of unique. That's pretty impressive. And yet, it doesn't say anything here at all about David arguing or saying anything other than, kind of like Zacharias, when Gabriel told Zacharias that he was going to, or his wife Elizabeth was going to bear a son, he wasn't quite so sure about it. And of course, we know that his mouth was closed for the duration of her pregnancy. But after the child was born, his mouth was open and he glorified God. Well, here, Joseph believed it. And he followed the instruction. And he did according to what God wanted him to do. So the angel appeared unto them in a dream. And he told them, don't fear not. Don't be concerned about taking Mary as your wife. This is all God's plan. This is what he wanted. This is how he wanted it. For what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Just that alone, using that term, the Holy Ghost, back in those days, I mean, people knew. I'm not going to say that they didn't know about it. That's pretty impressive. That's kind of a shock, I guess, if you will. Could you imagine waking up from a sound sleep and having an angel telling you that the woman that you are engaged to is carrying the child of the Holy Ghost? Now these things were things that Joseph had to kind of go through and had to understand. And the angel continues on and says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. Now, keep this in mind. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to Mary. He's talking to Joseph. If you go back into John the Baptist in the first chapter of Luke, who named John? It was Zacharias. It wasn't Elizabeth. In this case, it wasn't Mary, because that's what happened back in those days. That's how things were. It was the husband or the man or, you know, whichever way you want to term it, that was the one that named the child. In John the Baptist's case, there was kind of an argument or kind of a stonewalling, so to speak, by the people that lived in town. When he told them that his name shall be John, or when they first said that his name shall be John, no, there's nobody in your family that's by that name. Because at that time, the names in the family were carried on by the children, the child that was born. In this case, it was carried on by the name of John. And in this case that we're reading here, it was by Jesus. And yet, we don't read at all anything about Joseph putting up any type of a struggle or any type of objection as to what to call him. He called his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Right from the get-go, right from the very start, before Jesus was even born, it was told that he would save people from their sins. Now, you're going into an area now the Old Testament times, where they're all the sacrifices and all the things that they had to do. To be forgiven for something that they'd done. And now they're talking about an individual, one person, coming and save people from their sins. The other issue in this particular verse, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who was he talking about? Was he talking about the Jewish nation only? No. He was talking about all people. The Jewish nation, the Gentile nation, all people who believed. No one was left out right from the get-go. No one was left out right from the very start. He shall save his people from their sins. We are his people. We are God's people. We are the children of Christ, the children of God. And our sins have been forgiven because of what he did. And it goes on, he says, now when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord in the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's the way it is today. God is with us today. Not because of anything that was done or has been done, but because we believe and because we have faith. God is still around. God is still out there calling. God is still enticing people to come into his kingdom. But if one doesn't heed that call, it's not going to happen. It's just the way that it is. Looking back on my own life, and I find this so amazing, because people who do not understand who God is, or who wants to put their own secular thought into as far as who he is and how he's done these things. And I'll ask you this question also. but I'm pointing at myself when I say it. Did God come up to you screaming and hollering and telling you you've got to repent, because if you don't, you're going straight to hell? He didn't to me. Very quietly, very persuasively, and very lovingly told me that there is one there that is, who is ready to forgive me. There is one there who is ready to forgive my sin. And I don't have to do anything but confess and repent. That's it. That's all there is. I don't have to go out and do and perform any miracles. I don't have to go out and perform any great deeds. Confess and repent. Because that's how God works. He doesn't work in such a way that's impossible for us to do. He works in such a way in love and concern for our souls. He doesn't scream, he doesn't holler, he doesn't threaten. Just lovingly calls, quietly whispers. And boy, I can tell you from personal experience, that whisper's awful loud. And he might just as well be having a bullhorn stuck on my head, side of my head, and hollering at me, because that's the way it feels. And it gets to the point where you just cannot resist. You just can't resist. And that's the very reason why he came. That's the very reason why his name is Emmanuel, because he is with us right now, this morning, here. And he's lovingly calling and telling him, be patient. We're looking around, we're seeing all this foolishness and nonsense going on. He's just gently saying, be patient. Things are going as planned. That's something we have to remember. God has a plan. Things are going as planned. And if you continue to believe, or when you continue to believe, it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. Because one day you will be with those saints that Revelation speaks of. You will be with them and glorifying God, who so richly deserves your praise and your glory. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took him unto his wife. Joseph obeyed. Have you ever been faced with a situation that you know God wants you to do a particular thing and you don't obey it? That's a scary place to be. Joseph obeyed, and he did what the angel told him to do. And he did take Mary unto himself as his wife, trusting in what that angel said, trusting in what God had done. Trusting in the fact that that son was going to be the savior of the world. And he did something that the scribes and Pharisees refused to do. He believed. He believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he did not know her until she was brought, for she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, as the custom was at that time. But he did according to God's will, and he did according to God's word. And at this point, even today, we can thank and praise God for this precious gift that he's given us. We can thank and praise God for the things that he's done for us, even up until this point. And we can pray for one another that we may walk in that path that one day will lead to that glorious resurrection, where we will all be there singing glory and honor to him in his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that so many years ago, you had us in mind, that you want us to be able to be with you. You want all of those who are called that would come to repentance and would continue in that walk with us. So, Father, we thank you for those blessings. And as we leave here this morning, we pray, God, that we would look to you for the guidance, the strength, the instruction, and that we would hear your word, that we would hear your call, and that we would obey you. So, Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.